We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. So we've all been wondering what's going on with North Korea. Why the sudden change? Why all of a sudden did this come out of nowhere? It's not like we didn't expect this, right? We are talking about Kim Jong-un here, after all. Well, it looks like, I'm seeing multiple reports here today that they're trying to buy time, evidently, or find the time to find the place to hide the nukes. Isn't that what they normally do here, right? This was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, I think we were all still a little taken back all of a sudden that he threw this monkey wrench in there quickly, and a lot of people thought it was just posturing, and then there are confirmed reports that he's trying to clean up. In fact, I'm seeing, some are saying he's sanitizing the facilities right now while they're trying to buy more time for the sanitization of these facilities. But why would they be sanitizing the facilities, though? I don't really understand what that's about. Why do they care? I mean, we know that what they've been doing there. I mean, why would that be, Ilana? Any idea why experts
are
saying
that? Sure, because he's in a very, very bad situation, and I think that's why he reached out to try to not only buy time, but maybe make some inroads into a less aggressive posture. But because, you know, we've talked about this before, they have poisoned a great deal of North Korea with their nuclear tests that have actually exploded a mountain and destroyed the mountain from the inside, and the mountain is now collapsing. So they have to sanitize that because it has already poisoned the water supply for much of North Korea and some of China, a small portion of China. So they have to do that. I'm not sure how they do it. I don't know if they simply cover it up or it's got to be a very difficult technological problem. But in the meantime, now that they seem to have a handle on it and they are going public with the closing of that site, they are nevertheless secretly working on a second site. So now that he feels a little more comfortable with his own position, he can play a little fast and loose with the rest of us.
Well, that's what I'm kind of seeing here, is that with this talk of the denuclearization of the peninsula, that he got a little cold feet, and that's where you're talking about this other facility or place or what have you. This is part of, I guess, what's happening. He's got to know where to put whatever they've got there, Dennis. It's not like this stuff is going to evaporate. You know, it's not like all this equipment, whatever they've been doing for all these decades now. I mean, they got a lot of stuff. I mean, you got to put the stuff somewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, not only does he have a lot of stuff, but he's got a tremendous investment. He's got, you know, the thing you always have to remember with this kind of stuff is that there are people there who have built their careers, in fact, their lives.
That's right.
Around all of this infrastructure. And so as much as you have some people that want to sue for peace, you also have some people that will go, hey, you know, if we have peace, well, that's my rice bowl you're taking away. And so there's internal dissonance, and you're going to have to expect that happening. I think in the end, you know, they have a technical problem, because they did make a terrible mistake with their nuclear program. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's like Fukushima, except, you know, big, you know, where the thing actually went off. And so there's probably some face saving there. You know, very clearly the history of the North Koreans when it comes to military stuff is every time they have an exercise in the South, if they cannot meet it with something equally big, that's kind of a loss of face thing. And I think it's a loss of face thing that goes around inside the internals of their army. Mm-hmm. And, You know, so there, and it has repercussions. The way they reacted to the fact that we were having an exercise was guttural. It was like it came out of nowhere, and clearly it was a very visceral reaction.
Well, not only did it come out of nowhere, but it was already qualified. It was a pre-qualification of even moving forward initially. It was discussed with them already. Pompeo had already discussed all this, as well as the denuclearization. So clearly this is Stalin. They're obviously Stalin for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to pass the opportunity to sit down with Trump to be on the world stage. I think that summit's going to probably happen. Do either of you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that. I think it gives him a lot of credibility to come to that meeting. But I think he wants to change the terms. And now that he's a little bit more comfortable, that things are more under control with the nuclear disaster that he fomented, I think he is going to play a little bit, a little bit of hardball to try to sort of change the climate a little
That's
bit.
That's my guess as
so
well.
So that when
Alana.
This talk takes place, it'll be more on his terms.
Yeah, he was definitely trying to change the tempo of this thing. Well, listen, the White House came out today and said that, we are ready to meet when they're ready to meet. Like, in other words, que sera, sera, right? That was the attitude, really, from the White House. It's like, yeah, we haven't changed our position. If they want to meet, we're happy to sit down and meet, basically. Obviously, North Korea called for this meeting initially. They're the ones who had South Korea. If you recall, when this all started, they had South Korea contact the White House to make this even happen, which was obviously a landmark moment. We've never seen anything quite like this. But again, this guy isn't going to change his stripes overnight. Clearly, they know who he is, which is why Trump has been really, really very, very measured. Very, very measured. You both have to agree. The president has been really, really measured with this whole North Korea conversation, even though the media has been going wild and accusing the White House. I listened to a couple of pundits in the last day or so on different things. I don't listen to a lot of these cats because they drive me to drink, quite frankly, people. And I was listening to a couple of them, and it's like, the White House, why do they think they can do this with North Korea? You know, why is Trump even bothering? You know, this is just a joke. This summit doesn't even mean anything. In other words, total criticizing the president for even trying to make peace. They would prefer the alternative, potentially? Keep sending the missiles out over Japan or keep trying to strike other places? Is this the alternative they prefer? I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. But
they prefer to have the news cycle just go on and on and give them headlines to report on because, you know, otherwise they would have to publish pictures of cats on the internet.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Well, I think that they're so interested in just getting a story or prolonging the storyline that they've already created that they don't really take responsibility for the potential consequences. But something occurred to me as you were speaking, Malcolm, and that was that Kim Jong-un is very concerned, of course, with not only with his power and his prestige, but also with saving face. And he may be projecting that onto Donald Trump. So he may feel that he is in a better position to challenge Trump's face-saving by creating these new problems for him. And that may bring about a friendlier confrontation at the table, or one that is friendlier to North Korea.
I think he'll be disappointed in that. I think he'll be disappointed in it.
All right,
I agree.
There is definitely There's definitely some psychology going on here. There's no doubt. I got to move on to the next story. We'll come back and talk more about this. I find the whole thing about North Korea quite fascinating. Also, overnight, and Ilana will speak about this shortly here, but the Israeli military attacked a Hamas military compound in northern Gaza.
Good.
This is what Dennis says. Good. Well, we know where Dennis Santiago stands on this thing, at least, right? But we'll talk a little more. This has been unbelievable here. In fact, there's a piece that just went up on America Out Loud just a little bit ago here. The Battle for Jerusalem, the Great March of Return That Wasn't, which is from, again, yours truly on the show here, Ilana Friedman. And so that's up there on the front page of America Out Loud now, friends. So we'll touch more on on this. This is really unbelievable what's happened here with the opening of the Jerusalem embassy and everything else that's taken place there. So very interesting. The president comes out and he says, well, bigger than Watergate is what he says here. And he's, of course, referring to the fact of this whole Mueller case. This was just said here today. The Daily Caller has a very interesting piece. I want to touch on that as well. And he's talking about the Obama White House, the FBI spied on his campaign. Things are looking more and more like that. Now, very interestingly, I understand the draft for the Horowitz report I'm reading here right now was passed on yesterday to Sessions and to the senior members of that committee. Boy, I'll tell you, people, I hope they send me a draft of that report before the rest of them see it. That's going to be a landmark moment, I'm sure. Rudy Giuliani's out on the circuit again, the speaking circuit. He is, he is really something else. He's quite a spokesman. You've got to keep up with him. He was on Laura Ingraham. I don't know if you all caught that last night. I did not see it, but caught some of the excerpts afterward and some of the pieces here that they've touched on. Very, very interesting. Interested also, friends, in getting the perspective from Ilana and Dennis both, who certainly understand foreign affairs and what's going on over there, about Turkey. I find it very interesting. I reported on this yesterday with their urging the Islamic world to unite against Israel. This is compliments of President Erdogan, of course, and I want to talk about that a little bit today. I find Turkey a very interesting player out there with some of this, and nobody's really talking about it, of course. A lot more stories on, I got to tell you, I want to talk about Michael Cohen today to you guys, the Trump lawyer, and the fact that he was seeking money. Again, he's a bit of a shady character. I still believe that, as I was saying to Ava earlier, in fact, about this story, I think part of the problem here with this whole Trump thing, people, is that there's a lot of shady characters around all of this, including, you know, we take a look at Paul Manafort, and you take a look at Michael Cohen. These are not exactly choir boys, you understand. I mean, they all have a bit of a shady pass here or there, and I'm just calling it as I see it. But anyways, there's some interesting things with the fact that Cohen was seeking $1 million from Qatar and gets a little interesting. And then what about this? God, I haven't talked about this porn star in days because I'm so over her. But the Avenatti dude there, he has been on like about 150 times in just a 10-week period of time. They are raising money like there's no tomorrow. That's the whole strategy, is their strategy to raise money. Very, very interesting. Listen, friends, at the top of nozzle here, let's do some introductions here. This is going to be a great conversation today here because we have two of the most informed people, as in Ilana Friedman and Dennis Santiago. And I'm going to let ladies go first. That means, Dennis, you want to say what you... No. You want to give 15 seconds, please. Tell us a little bit about your background, please.
You're talking to me now, right?
I am, Ilana. I'm being a smart guy here. Go ahead.
Okay, just checking. Well, I'm an intelligence analyst. I base my analysis on a lot of incoming intelligence, mostly from open sources, but I've been doing it for a long time, a lot many more years than I care to admit, and I was trained in Israel, and I now also serve as a consultant to corporate America in the area of security and counterterrorism.
Excellent, yeah. And again, the star of the show here, Dennis Santiago, sir. Please tell folks about yourself.
You called me sir, not ma'am. Thank you very much.
I know. Listen, I deserve this. Go ahead, Mr. Santiago. I deserve this. Go ahead.
Well, I am.
I miss you. It's been a while.
I know. Well, I'll be, you know, and here I am. I'm a strategic analyst specializing in global stability. Strategic warfare issues, asymmetric warfare issues. I also do a lot of work in the world of banking and finance and financial policy, infrastructure analysis, and things like that. Comment on such things on various publications on the internet, America Out Loud being my favorite. And just overall care about the safety and security of the United States.
We call this present company here world class. World class is the words I'll use for Ilana Friedman and Dennis Santiago. We'll be back with more world class, more nozzle in just a moment. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. You know, what happens next? Now, I mentioned Turkey just a bit ago here, and I had brought the story up yesterday because I do find it very interesting with what's happened with Erdogan and the president of Turkey, and in trying to, he had some pretty strong words out there in trying to urge the Islamic world to unite against Israel. I mean, it wasn't good what I was seeing here. He says the Islamic world should move as one with one voice against this massacre. He calls it a massacre. He called it a genocide, if you can believe that, guys. He said what Israel has done is genocide. This is the Islamic community calling this, which is mind blowing, really.
One nutball.
First of all, killing 60 people is a genocide. In a mob of 40,000. That sounds pretty restrained to me, actually. Then it turns out, by the way, that of the 62 people who were killed, 54 of them were terrorists. And members in good standing of either Hamas or most of them Hamas, but the, also the Palestine Islamic Jihad. So, you know, I mean, this is Middle East rhetoric. And if you have ever lived in the Middle East, you'll be very familiar with it. And actually, it doesn't mean a whole lot. First of all, the Muslim world has never come together on anything.
That's true.
They are deeply fragmented organizations that are bound together by the Quran, but the interpretation of the Quran is very different from group to group. So that's to begin with. The second thing is I can give you a report that's coming from Israel now that Turkey, that the spat between Turkey and Israel could be over within a few months. That it's a temporary thing, and that's probably true. I think Erdogan is putting on a show for his for the world, because he really has very serious ambitions in the religious Islamic world, Islamist world. But for the time being, it's in his best interest not to have this this spat with Israel, even though they embarrassed the Israeli consul. They made him go through when he was. First of all, they threw him out, and then while they were sending him home, and he was going through the airport, they did everything but a strip search. They just ran him through the mill, and as a result, Israel did the same thing with their ambassador and sent him home. So it's kind of a childish game, but it's necessary, I guess, in the world of diplomacy, and as in many things in diplomacy, there is a good chance that it will end, because Erdogan knows that it wasn't a genocide, and that it wasn't even a massacre, that it was simply, the sides getting together, and Israel was a greater power.
Well, as you say, it's propaganda. It's just total propaganda.
It's propaganda,
but that's what they do,
though. And just as Hamas is propaganda when they say that it was a peaceful demonstration. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything peaceful about it from day one.
Right. Well, they're the king of propaganda, though. Dennis, go ahead. What do you make of this?
I'll give you 3 points. That I observed over the last few days, you know, because Hamas has been doing this for a month, right? You know, they've been building up to this.
Six weeks.
Yeah,
they've
March
been
30th.
Doing it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've been at it for a while, and it's a build up, and they were timing it for the opening of the U.S. embassy
and their Independence Day, Dennis, as well.
Yes,
it was all timed to be Israel's Independence Day on the 14th.
And it's also the first day of Ramadan. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things.
Exactly.
There's always another reason. But here's the thing, right? So first is a technical observation, and I think it's a technical observation that everybody needs to understand and hear. The Israeli Defense Force was able to selectively spot and kill 50 terrorists in a crowd of 40,000 efficiently.
Wow.
That is a technological change in being able to identify and target people in real time that people have to understand is the coming wave in how these things happen. The Chinese are able to do it and find one guy out of 20,000 using cameras in a demonstration. Facial recognition software, all these kinds of tools are now coming to the forefront. You want to pull this kind of stuff off in the future? There is no such thing as anonymity, and everybody that wants to pull these kinds of terrorist operations off under the guise of using human shields better be aware of the fact that it is no longer going to work. They will find you. They will shoot you.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah, and one of the things I found amazing was a report from somebody who was there, and he wrote this: a situation where thousands of people rush you is frightening, even terrifying. It is extremely difficult to show restraint, and it requires calm, mature professionalism. 62 dead is an enormous number, but I can testify from my firsthand experience that every bullet and every hit is carefully reported, documented, and investigated in Excel spreadsheets, if you can believe that. That
wow.
is amazing. Wow. Literally, I was there, and I saw it with my own eyes. Exactly what Dennis is saying. It is very, very well articulated. The rules of engagement are very clear.
No, that's good information.
It's not an accident that 54 of the 62 dead were terrorists.
Well, I was surprised with that number when I seen it, Dennis, Ilana. I was very surprised with that. But no, this is great information. This way here, guys, listen, the public knows then with what you're saying that, you know, they're not just randomly shooting people. Because remember I said last week, this could have been a major mass casualty event if they get through that fence. So anyways, what's the second point, Dennis?
Point number two has to do with Turkey. And in the case of Turkey. So the Turkish government has been mean to just about everybody for the last 3 or 4 months. They have been mean to journalists. They have been mean to diplomats. Erdogan is a thug of thug proportions. He is hoping to become the next leader of the Middle East. And what the thing is, he's trying to follow a model that was very similar to what the Egyptians did in the 1960s. You know, trying to lead everybody by using Israel as the foil for their agenda to dominate the region. Mm-hmm. Now, Erdogan is in competition with Iran in terms of that, because Iran has a Shia Crescent thing going, and that doesn't necessarily sit with the Turks. So there's a complex play going on that has to do with what is called hill and valley power politics. It's a regional version of ups and downs. And this is an artifact of that. So you got thug on one side, thug on the other. The thing about the Turks, though, is they're beginning to learn very, very quickly that the rest of the Middle East kind of likes Israel because they're a stabilizing force in the region. And, you know, relationships with them have been warming for all these countries for a long time. So I don't think his call to say, all of Arab or all of Islam, come follow me, I am the next guy to follow, you know, that's not going to work, because the rest of them are going, what, you want us to help Hamas? Nobody likes Hamas. We don't care. Right. I mean, you know, you want us to go help al-Nusra? Nobody cares about them. You know, where are you coming from with that? Like, you know, get a life. And that is part of the politics that people have to watch very closely. Erdogan is posturing for the Middle East. We're watching from the outside. And our job as an external superpower is to make sure that he never gets the stage to have context and you know, become the big guy on campus, because that's the one thing that'll destabilize the region. Our interest is to make sure that nobody rises to that level again in that area until that place is nice and settled.
Wow.
That's
let me add something to what you say there about, yeah, for sure. I hope it happens in our lifetime, for sure, folks. But Dennis, let me add to Erdogan. You've got to remember this character here. He has not been the same since the coup. I mean, he's been a totally different leader since then. Remember, they killed a lot of the top people there. They put a lot of them in jail when that coup was. And there were moments when that coup was happening where it could have almost been successful. You know, it had come pretty close. I remember we were following it moment by moment when it was developing. But since then, I mean, there had kind of been a buildup prior to that where Erdogan started to go down, to me, the wrong path, if you'd watched a lot of the political things he was doing. But then since that coup had happened, I think he's really become a big bully, as you described, Dennis.
Oh, yeah.
In the
he's
Middle
become
East.
A despot. It was a harsh government that had some balance in it, right, because it had opposition groups in there. But after that coup, he basically started arresting and killing people who were part of the other side arbitrarily, you know, like, yeah, because
he was looking over shoulder all the time.
Well, you know,
he was paranoid.
They were arresting people because like they don't like you. They saw that I went to dinner with you. I get arrested simply because I shared a plate of baklavas with you.
Listen, don't blame it on me. Don't bring me, my personality, into this fight, please. I have nothing to do with Turkey.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. Like, point, you ready for point three?
Yeah, give me 3 points because we get a lot of other items. Go ahead.
Point three is short. I mean, you know, this is the position of the United States with regards to this whole affair. Right.
Right.
So we open an embassy, the whole thing. Hamas gets ready to go to plead their case. We're, of course, already going to plead their case. The UN General Assembly. And bottom line, Nikki Haley is a badass because she walked out on a Palestinian envoy and took his fire away from him. Good for us.
Yeah. She's a really interesting gal. Nikki Haley is the United Nations ambassador, and she's made quite a name for herself in a pretty short time, Dennis, you know.
You think of it, right? I mean, you know, and that was a very calculated move. I mean, you know, yeah, like Nikki Haley's an ambassador, right? So this is calculated throughout the U.S. government. If you have somebody that has spent 6 weeks building up to this moment where they can, you know, have their moment in the sun and plead their case to the entire world at the UN General Assembly, and you want to stop them, what do? You upstage them. And we did that. That is the United States fighting diplomatic warfare on diplomatic terms with perfect execution.
All right. Let me ask you both.
By the way, they do that to us, and they do it to Israel all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Let me ask you both. Speaking, let's come right back to what we're speaking now with the clashes at the border there in Gaza. Have we seen the worst at this point, and what happens next? Let's wrap this up right now, this part of the world here, so we can move on. Ilana, what do you think?
Well, first of all, as I wrote yesterday, there is something going on in Gaza that the world isn't really paying attention to. The people in Gaza are absolutely fed up with Hamas. They don't have food, they don't have water, they don't have sanitation, the hospital doesn't have oil because Hamas fighters went and destroyed the pipeline, the gas pipeline and the oil pipeline that brings this fuel from Israel into Gaza. So they destroyed that, so they no longer have fuel, they can't cook, and they can't wash, and they can't drink, and they can't eat, and they can't go to the hospital. So, you know, it is becoming such a disaster in Gaza that people are ready to revolt. And one man who was captured by Israel said to the people who were interrogating him that Hamas has these demonstrations in order to keep the people from revolting. And I think what's actually happening is, he says, people are fed up, and I'm one of them. And I think what's actually happening is that Hamas is losing their grip on the people of Gaza.
I agree. And they're getting desperate.
So if you see what happened, they did not continue these demonstrations. After Monday, they called a day of a funeral.
Right.
And they have not gone back to the border. And this is, you know, whatever's going on, it's small stuff compared to what they were planning, which was hundreds of thousands of people coming and rushing the border. They promised them bulldozers. It didn't happen.
Sure, sure.
They don't.
Sure.
They don't keep their promises to the people. They steal their money and they build terror tunnels.
It was a suicide mission to begin with, is what it was. I mean, thing was never had a chance or a shot.
And they're willing to sacrifice their people.
Of course.
They send children to
their MO.
Into the front.
That's their MO. I mean, it's clearly what they do. They've been doing it right along. Dennis, you agree with that? You say?
So here's my short form bottom line on that. I think what you're going to see in the aftermath of this is a movement throughout the Middle East to free the Palestinians from Hamas.
Interesting.
Because that's the bottom line. That is the humanitarian mission. These people are under the control of evil warlords, and they have to be taken out.
Yeah. Well, I have felt that for some years now, Dennis. Exactly. And as far as the people being oppressed, Ilana, as far as I can see, I mean, I remember reporting on this, what, 3 years ago, and they were very oppressed then. We thought, how are these people living in such conditions? They were horrible, just absolutely horrible, wicked. And they're no better today. So I'm not sure that's the motivation. I don't know. It
Well,
it's
they're
just,
worse today. The problem
yeah.
is that it's much worse today than it was even then.
Yeah, it's hard to
And
imagine.
so you have essentially the people who are ruling them, stealing from them, not allowing them to live in even the most minimum, you know, lifestyle that is at least doable, that is at least livable. These people are living in absolute squalor.
Yeah.
And it's because of Hamas.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, there is no quality of life there, but there never has been, from what I could see. And it's been bad. It's been bad. But I don't know. I guess it depends how bad your bad is. Like,
well, it also depends on who you are. There is a beautiful shopping center in Gaza City that is totally high end, and there are people who patronize it. That means that there are wealthy people in Gaza, but it's not the rank and file.
No, for sure. Boy, I didn't know that with the shopping center. That's interesting.
It's gorgeous. It looks like something in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Yeah, everybody's got to have a first world problem somewhere.
Yeah, but you don't expect that right there, for sure. Well, listen, let's change up a little bit. I want to talk to you about Giuliani. What kind of a job do you think Giuliani's doing? You've been seeing him out on the circuit there at all. Dennis, what do you think? What kind of job is he doing?
I think he's doing a very lawyerly job. I mean, you know, like what's the man's core mission? He's trying to sort through all the noise of all the rhetoric that has been going on for a very long time. And he's trying to go, you know what? Let's get back to a real baseline. Let me explain to you what's really going on. Let's look at this stuff objectively. And I think he's doing a pretty credible job of toning down the rhetoric and getting to the facts. You know, he's the man is probably one of the best prosecutors that has ever been in this country, and he's using that skill to prosecute Washington. I think it's awesome.
He's different. He's a different kind of character, Giuliani is. He's obviously very outspoken about this. Been ruffling a few feathers, Ilana, if you've been catching any part of him, but he's really out there pushing. One thing it is interesting, a lot of Trump supporters like, is he said, well, what I'm reading some of the transcripts here from the Laura Ingraham talk he had yesterday, she says, what is your optimal timeline for this to wrap up? And I love Rudy. He says, you got to love this about Rudy. He's such a classic. You know what his answer is? Well, and you could see him doing this, people. Well, they should do it today. I mean, as soon as possible, he says. I think that they have the facts from which they need to get, let's do it today. He said, come on. You can see Rudy doing that, right? I
mean, yeah. No, that's Rudy going, motion for summary judgment.
Exactly. That's how he is, you know? And so he's really pushing to get this. So what happened is the big change here with the Giuliani thing is that they went on offense versus defense. The obviously, the president, they've tried to stay out of it initially. Their strategy has changed over the past year. You know, this thing has been like a snowball effect, people. And so at first it was you never get anything out of the White House. It was quiet. Special counsel who? I don't know who they are. And then after that, it was they were playing defense a lot, very defensive. Now this is a whole new strategy. You're seeing right now with Rudy is they're playing offense, but this is the first time they're playing offense. Is it a good strategy, Ilana?
I think it is, and I'd like to see him play more offense. He put himself on the defense. I think he stepped in a small hole at the beginning with that business about who paid for, you know, the $300,000.
Oh yeah, totally. I agree.
And he had to spend a lot of time sort of backtracking and covering his tracks and making it sound reasonable. And I think probably he answered what he thought was the right answer and just didn't have the information and should have just shut up. But having said that, he is a very smart guy, and he is usually on the offense, not the defense. So I think this is just if anything, it was a small setback, and he's going to capitalize it by being on the offense. And he's got plenty of ammunition now because what we're seeing is the Mueller investigation starting to fall apart.
Well, it's definitely going to do something because of Horowitz's report now. If they have the draft, and evidently they Sessions and company, the committee has the draft. If they've got the draft and they're looking at it, that should be a telltale sign. There's a lot of other pieces happening here. This thing has grown in size and scope. Clearly, the special counsel has grown in size and scope, but the whole thing has become really, really messy. And then, of course, you have this sideshow. You've got this Avenatti dude out there with Cohen, and that is a complete ridiculous program. I mean, it's hard to even follow that nonsense. Yet the media is using it as a total deflection, not to talk about the real news. They're using the whole, this guy, did you see the report from Newsbusters, guys? He's been on about 150 times now in the past 10 weeks in regards to trying to pull Trump down. Listen to this now. More than half of the interviews, about 75, I think, were on CNN itself. And then there was a good amount on MSNBC as well. Of course, the usual characters, but even ABC, they had him on six times. CBS, the major networks, they had him on five times. NBC had him on four times. Fox News had him on once. And evidently, they say he didn't want to go back to Fox. I forget who he was on there with.
They give him a hard time. They don't treat him like royalty.
It must be. I don't know. I know he didn't want to go back there, is what I understand now. What I've gathered from some of the talent there, they say they've invited him back, but he doesn't want to go there. So maybe it's what you say, Alana. I don't know that they're not kissing up.
Because they don't have a makeup artist for him. I mean,
He needs a makeup room. Artist. Are you saying he's not pleasant looking? Yeah.
I don't know. Makeup would help, frankly.
No, I'm serious. You know, the times I've been interviewed by network TV, you know, yeah, there is a makeup artist on staff in those buildings that says, "Do you want some powder?" And I go, "No, I'm a guy. I don't have to look good."
Well, yeah. Well, that's we have to look good that much more. We need more makeup. What do you mean? When you're on TV, listen. The other things today here now. What's happened now with Avenatti is really interesting because now the tables are being turned a little bit, and there's a lot of stories coming out about his background now. A lot of stories about the fact that this is not, again, he's a real shady character, and he came out. He was gonna. He was threatening to sue the Daily Caller, the DCNF, the Daily Caller News Foundation. This I reported on this just I think a couple of days ago, Dennis, Ilana, you know, and he was going to sue them, and he was doing a tit for tat with them. Well, now listen to this. Today, just earlier today, the Daily Caller came out. They obviously are not backing off because they just had another story on Avenatti that says that his company fired a woman for being pregnant. Court documents show this. So they're trying to pull up everything on Avenatti. He doesn't like it when the tables turn, does he?
Oh, not at all.
Right? Right?
Not at all. Yeah.
But it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah.
Well, he does come across that way, Alana, when you say that. He is a real,
He's a rotten character.
He is, honey. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say he was a nicer guy, but I mean, it couldn't happen more appropriately because he has been tearing down everything that comes in his way in order to get as much money, I guess, as possible.
Well, see, now that's what they're doing.
He's a greedy son of a gun.
And some of the other stories I read about him now Ilana, is that he has actually, they've raised some pretty serious money from all this media exposure they've had, you know? He has raised a fair amount of money. I'll find it here. It's some dollars. I'll find it in a moment here. But 50... How about this? Listen to this. They're in excess right now that they've raised from all this media exposure they've had. They've raised over $500 million. Yeah, they're raising some money.
Apparently, so they can.
What are they doing? Yeah. Well, I let me correct that. I transposed one zero. It's only one zero. $500,000.
But still,
$1. Well, one zero makes a difference, kids.
Is it $500,000?
Half a million.
Ilana, the real number
okay,
here.
Well,
I'm being
that
a wise
sounds
smart
a little bit better. It sounds a little more realistic.
Well, I know.
Startled by that.
Well, it's all startling though. Half a million dollars is a lot of money, Ilana.
Okay.
You know. Right?
No, let's work this as a pricing equation, guys. Okay, so the comparative price of the original price was what, $130,000?
Yes.
So he's done a 5x trade by bringing this up, most of which he's going to get. She's not going to get very much. And You know, so yeah, so that's the multiplier on larceny. This guy is pond scum. You know, bottom
line.
Are
we in the wrong business?
Pond scum. We are in the number one. We are in the wrong business.
No, you're right. I'm with you. Definitely not.
No, I mean,
depends,
you know,
what your motive is.
I don't have the capacity to sink that low. I'm sorry.
You're not pond scum. You mean? Is that what you're saying, bud?
Yes, yeah. I like clean. Clean swimming pools with chlorine and yes, and towels.
Yeah, all right. I hear you. And towels as well. You're one of those. You're one of those Marriott RC kind of fellows there.
Yeah, you can call me ma'am now.
Okay, ma'am. We'll be back with more nozzle in just a moment here.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older. Until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The Senate has officially confirmed Gina Haspel as the CIA director.
All right.
And this wasn't supposed to happen, although we thought McConnell was going to do it at the beginning of the week. It is done. She is the first woman now to hold that position, and she's the CIA director. What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. And, you know, like, my big thing about that is, okay, so, like, I saw that whole thing break. It was a couple of days ago when I go like, okay, so everybody's got their soundbite recordings for the midterm election recorded in the can now. They've said it like three or four times, so their handlers are all going, okay, we got what we need, we got the quotes that we need. All right, you know, she was qualified the whole time. We can move forward with business now.
Exactly. No, of course she was qualified. This was always about, it was never about her qualification. It was about the political ramifications of it. Clearly the
qualification. Everything is political now. Nothing
exactly.
Has to do with facts
exactly.
Or qualifications.
Not a damn thing.
Or any of the characteristics that we used to judge people by.
Yeah, no, you know totally why agree. This is. You know why this is, right? I mean,
why?
You know, because I was just in D.C. last week, right? You know, I went there to go.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Hang in the swamp. No,
I agree
you know
with
what?
Alana.
Yeah, you know what it is? What? It's pollen season, right? You know, like
exactly.
I parked my car in Maryland.
Oh, that's what's making everybody crazy.
I came back; it was yellow.
What explains the rest of the year?
Nah, it's that endorphins coming from the cherry blossoms. They overload on cherry blossom smell. Listen, when you get up at the airport, I've flown into D.C. many times, and I have to, you know, I've stayed at, there's a nice little hotel across the street. I stay at many, many times. I got to tell you this right now. You can feel the corruption. It's all in the air. There's so much corruption in D.C. Like I said, we don't need a wall in the south border in Mexico any more than we need a wall around Washington, D.C. to hold the politicians in there. I mean, it took
about
tons. Yeah, absolutely. That's the wall we need. Build it right around the beltway and keep them in there. That's my favorite wall. But you talk about puns.
Unplug the air conditioners.
Well, this is it.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Well, so listen. Here's the final. Listen to the final vote here now, because we were taking bets on this the other day. I forget, somebody told me, I don't know who it was. I don't think it was you, Dennis. No, someone else said they thought it was going to be around, oh, I think it was Jim McKay. Yeah, I think he said he expected, I could be wrong, but I think he's the one that said that she was going to get like maybe around 70, 75. Do you remember, was he the one that told me, did you hear that, Dennis, on the program? Was it Jim McKay?
I think it was him, yeah.
I just want to make sure we can throw him under the bus since he's not here. So he won't be on till tomorrow, so I can do that, but I think
good.
So. So he didn't get 70. Anyways, here's the final confirmation vote, 54-44. 54-44. So that's still a bit of a squeaker, isn't it? It works, though. It works, right?
It works. And I think, you know, the squeak is, you know, you got a Democratic machine that is desperately seeking Susan.
Yeah.
And they're very powerful in their own party. I mean, they hold their members to the, you know, feet to the fire.
Ilana Friedman, that is more than a mouthful. You are, let me talk about that 1 second, because you are spot on. The Democrat Party, and I'll say this right now to you, they're far more brilliant than the Republicans are, Ilana. Totally. They do exactly what you just said.
They're good at
absolutely
organizing.
Absolutely.
The Republicans are every man for himself, but
they can't even drive the bus
up the line, or you're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, the Democrats know how to play politics real well. Do I like their politics? No. But are they smart in playing them? Damn right they are. I mean, if you can keep Pelosi in that leadership spot for this long, and you can keep people like Feinstein and these other lunatics over there, who's that other couple of crazy ones? You got Harris and Kamala Harris in California, and the other one, Wilson, there. Oh. She's a nut job and a half.
Hey, I live here.
Exactly. They're your people, Dennis. What are you doing there? They're your people.
They collect extra taxes so that, you know, because we have to change the batteries in their backs.
You've got to control your politicians out there better, bud. Come on, you know? Right? You've got to control your politicians out there. You see the work we had on yesterday, Dennis, Ben Bergwam, and you see the work that Fight Sanctuary State is doing. They're doing some good work out there, man, you know? Huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, well, you know, remember, I think we did one of the very first interviews with them.
Yeah, I like them. I like the work they're doing. I like the people. I like Ben.
They're good stuff. Yeah.
They're good people. Everybody, and if you haven't been there, because they're good people, with the work they're doing in California, fightsanctuarystate.com. And I only mention it again because this is a grassroots organization that needs the help. And they're doing the work of the patriots, of us patriots. I mean, they're out there doing the work.
I wish there were more of them. Yeah. I wish they had more support, you know, from the grassroots.
I wish so too. I mean, you know, I hate to be a downer on a bit of that, but a part of it is so many people have moved out of California that there really aren't a lot of us left here. We're few.
And this is true. That's not just a saying. That's true. No, it's very accurate because a lot of them have moved to Texas. Texas got the largest amount of Californians who have been tired of the politics out there and have left. And I know quite a few on our platform that have left and others that have left California for other and other states too. But Texas has got a lot of them. A lot of people going to Nevada too. He has picked up a lot of people, but people want lower taxes. They don't want to work for nothing. You don't want to work to keep paying into government all the time. I mean, just your gas tax out there. How do you afford to put gas in the car, Dennis?
I got a motorcycle. It takes 2.5 gallons.
That explains.
Yeah, instead of my SUV, which takes like 20.
I mean, so anyways, that's another story here. Listen, I want to talk to you both about this Trump lawyer, Cohen. I want your opinions on this story that I've been following, and I find it very interesting. So let me read this to you here and then get you both to opine a little bit here. The prosecutors are investigating Cohen for bank and tax fraud. We know that. But also possible campaign law violations linked again to the hush money payment to Stormy. And again, there was a lot of news yesterday about finally it came out in Trump's financials. And of course, the media was tracking that like that was like a major story, you know. But it's all silly, really. But anyways, Cohen has he asked the Qatar government for, they're saying, at least minimum of $1 million back in December 2016 in exchange for access or insight into the Trump administration. Now, one of the reports I read a lot of reports on is what Cohen was really good at was selling access. And he was selling Trump's access all the time. And he looks like one of those characters that would sort of do that. No, we shouldn't judge somebody by the cover, maybe, but he does look like one of those creepy characters that would kind of play in that world, maybe. No? Or possibly. There are some other numbers here before I get you guys to tell me what you really think of this cat, because I'm not feeling Cohen is, I think he's part of the, I think this is what's given the media fuel, is people like Cohen, people like Manafort, Gates, some of these characters are less than, like I said, less than stellar. course, that doesn't justify what the council's been doing here and what's happening. That's not what I'm saying here. But like Swiss, AT&T came out the other day. Well, a couple of people, I mean, they said they're sorry they ever had a relationship with Cohen. They said they made payments of $600,000 to Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Novartis, the Swiss drug maker, they came out and they mm-hmm. paid Cohen $1.2 million.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these... Access. How do you like that?
Access and insights.
Insights.
Look, as long as Trump was not a candidate, there was nothing illegal about that.
Well, he was a candidate.
He was.
Yeah, he was a
if
candidate.
If he was a candidate at the time, then it's a more serious issue.
I think it is. That's what I'm asking.
Because you can't sell access to a candidate. That's illegal.
That's the point of this. So what do you think of this, Dennis? Where do you think this goes?
So I've been around a long time, and I've walked around the swamp for a long time. In that time, you see creatures like this left and right all over the place. They exist. They are there. They are trying to make a buck with whatever they've got, and in some cases, they stretch the rubber band about as far as.
You're saying this is, and I hear what you're saying now. That's good.
You know, like my policy myself,
right,
is when I detect that, I immediately give them a wide berth, because if one is to participate constructively in assisting the U.S. government, the United States of America's agenda, these kinds of people will get you in trouble so fast, and you will get in trouble because of it. So the second you detect them, you just flush them.
So what you're saying is, I hear you. Ilana, what I think Dennis is saying is, and that I can see, and I mean, and I get this, I understand this. In fact, I was talking to Ava earlier about this, is that they're all corrupt. The whole system is, everything's corrupt. It's just a matter of who's the less corrupty, corrupter, corrupted, right?
Yeah, it's a different kind of swamp. You know, but I think there are two issues here. If Cohen is corrupt, he needs to be taken down. I mean, there's no question about the fact that if he's done something illegal, he needs to go to jail. And I don't have a problem with that.
Cohen. I mean, he may be a con.
I'm sorry.
But his name is Cohen. He may be a con, too.
Cohen. The way in which the government got some of this information mm-hmm. by seizing all of his all of his files and records and everything in his house and his office and his hotel room, and seizing stuff which was protected under law, under client, attorney-client privilege.
Right.
And seized it all and threatened to release it. That, I think, you know, everybody deserves some sort of protection under the law, and he did not get it. So, no. You know, he may be a part of the swamp, which would reflect badly on the president, for hiring him. But at the same time, he is entitled to protection under the law.
You're right.
Two separate issues.
You're right with what you say. And Dennis, listening to you, you're right as well. Basically, you know, again, it's a big boys game is what we're talking about, or a big boy and girls game is what you're saying here. I hear you. And Ilana, and I appreciate it, you're trying to draw some, you know, I get it. I mean, you're trying to be ethical and say, but none of this stuff is ethical. I mean, it's...
No, you know. I mean, if you're a slime ball and you're going to break the law, or skirt the law, in order to benefit your client and yourself, you know, then you need to be brought up to justice.
Right.
But
well,
that's
I agree.
Not the way to do it.
No, I agree.
My point.
All right. We'll be following more and more of this. A couple other quick things I want to tell folks, and we're going to get to predictions in a moment here. But the other big news that Dennis was all over today, which was like really serious, Bumblebee Tuna, the CEO, has been indicted for price fixing. What is going on with this, Dennis?
Apparently, in the seafood canning industry, mm-hmm. which... You know, so this is like, you know, like $1.20 a can, right? Multiplied by millions of cans. The guy was engaging in price fixing. And so the authorities went after him. It's a criminal indictment. And so, I mean, look, it does happen. My fun of it today is I am watching the finance world sit there and everybody is telling Charlie the Tuna and Mac the Knife jokes. So, you know.
This is good. My entertainment for the day.
Well, it gave a little entertainment. It's good. It's good. Listen, it's a perfect segue, that story, after talking about the corruption in Washington, because also corruption in high business boardrooms also exist, and there's one right there. Also, Starbucks facing more racism allegations. This happened was just late yesterday. A Latino customer received a cup with the word Beaner on the label, and they took photographs of it, and that's been circulating, going on viral. And, oh, yeah. Yeah, so
that's my daughter's nickname.
Where is it? Well, what is it? Well, what is Starbucks doing these days? And what are they training their people? They got, you know, this. I mean, they got their whole.
They just went through a huge training session.
That's coming up, isn't it?
All of their employees.
I think that's coming up at the end of the month. I don't think that's happened yet, right?
I want them to do it, man. You know, they keep spelling my name Denise.
Denise, yeah. All right, listen, let me also tell folks, you guys, get your predictions together. We only got seconds left here, but let me tell folks again also, trending today, hashtag graduation advice in 5 words. And of course, I love these. Let me give you a few tweets here. Cameron says, education doesn't stop after graduation. That's good advice. Eddie says, don't wear clothes under your gown. Probably good advice. You have a better chance of getting laid that night, potentially, huh? Marie says, be prepared for student loans. Okay. Carrie says, get drunk before you're broke. Now, that's really good advice there. Amy says, McDonald's is always hiring, guys. It's okay. Barry says, smoking weed is not helping you. All right. And the last one, Bannon says, marry a rich old man. And who they had with a picture of that one was a picture of Melania Trump. Marry a rich old man, right? That's Melania Trump. I think that's some advice for Melania, maybe.
That's supposed to be funny.
I thought it was hysterical, but in any event, it didn't hit you two.
All right, never mind.
Let's
it
do
worked.
It.
Maybe I have more sense of humor. What's, I mean, you know what? Wow.
Listen, I laughed at Dennis's bumblebee thing. I mean, come on. Of course it's funny.
It is funny.
Okay.
So we got to all have
a lot of heat lately.
Sense of humor. Had, and you're right. We shouldn't make fun of her since she's just coming out of the hospital.
I think she should be off limits for a while.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I just got slapped.
Mind you, she can stand up for herself. She's a tough lady.
All right, I just got slapped down from Ilana Friedman. All right, Ilana, let's get your prediction, please. We got only seconds left.
Well, I think next week is going to be a very interesting week in Washington, and I think we should all stay tuned.
This next week, you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff. The Inspector General's report is going to come down, and there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out.
All right, well, whatever happens there, I've got two more bottles of champagne on ice. I'm good to go, Ilana Friedman. Dennis Santiago, please, your prediction for the day.
My prediction for the day is a metaphor, and it's about Korea. And a metaphor goes like this. I see your temper tantrum. I raise you aggressive negotiations with a lightsaber. We're going to win.
Well, that's good. No, I like that. I like that metaphor, and I like the fact we're going to win. The one thing I enjoy, Dennis, about you is you are an optimist, for sure, and I really respect that about you. And you are as well, Ilana.
You're a feminist, apparently,
and a feminist as well. And there's nothing wrong. Let me say this, and there's nothing wrong with a man being a feminist.
How did that happen? How am I a feminist?
No, Dennis is a feminist. And there's nothing wrong with a man being a feminist. It's a good thing.
Absolutely
it's
not.
It's a good thing. That's right. I am in the same camp as you are, Dennis, so I would be the same one. I elevate women all the time. Look, I'm elevating.
I'm outnumbered 3-1 in my own house. I have no choice.
Absolutely. That's what we do when we live around women here. Friends, my prediction is we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.